Welcome back, everybody, to an all-new comedy at the Carlson Cast. It's a beautiful fall day. You can check it out at carlsoncast.com. There's your host. It's Pumpkin Spice Paulino.
Oh,
shaped like a pumpkin.
Back from the dead, just in time for Halloween. It's Brian Ball, everybody.
Back in your crypt.
There's the very lifelike Ross Johnson. That's me. Almost alive. He's a veritable horn of plenty. It's Cam Tiller, everybody, with our special guest, Brett Morin.
The horn of plenty.
I love having Ross around. He just makes me happy. Hey, everybody.
He's a real boy.
It's the comedy at the Carlson Cast, the greatest podcast in the history of comedy at the Carlson.
I think that's fair.
I think that's fair, too.
I think that's fair.
Thank you again for tuning in to another great episode. We have a very special guest. He is one of Variety's top 10 comics to watch. You can see him on season 2 of the stand-ups on Netflix. He has his own special on there. Brent Morin's going to be here today.
Woo!
And very excited to talk to him. I hosted last night, and I'm hosting tonight. Brian's actually hosting Saturday.
Both of us.
So I got to watch the show yesterday evening, and this guy is refreshing. Different. I dug it. Loved his act so much.
Refreshing.
Yeah. You could do stand-up, but then there's something to be said for people who have this background in acting, and he studied film and stuff like that, who know how to use a stage.
Yeah.
He knows how to use the stage, and he knows what he's doing, and he knows how to play off of things that you don't normally see someone do on a stand-up stage. So for me, I was sitting back there going, wow, this guy's putting on a clinic.
Yeah.
That was just me. But we're going to talk about it in just a little bit.
And you should come out to all the shows, and then you can say who was better, me or Vinny.
You really need that much affirmation, do you?
I do.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was told by the club that I have 5 pairs of tickets to give away
to the
10 o'clock show tonight, not tomorrow night. If you want to go see Brian, you have to pay. But if you want to come see me, your buddy Vinny, and you can vote for me as being
free.
The funnier one, I'll give you some free tickets for that. So if you want to come see the 10 o'clock show tonight, what I want you to do is just text us, say you want some tickets. How's that sound?
It sounds good.
Text line is open, 585-484-0265. Feel free to submit your questions for Brent Morin. And also, folks, if you're watching and you enjoy the show and you like what we do, please give us a 5-star review on iTunes and leave us a little review. It helps us out tremendously. Tell a friend that you like the show. Help the word get out there that we're doing a good job over here.
It'll we save a kitten.
From who? Which one of us do you think is going to hurt a kitten?
Ross, probably, if I had to bet.
That's how he stays so young.
Yeah.
He bathes in kitten blood.
Feline blood.
Feline blood. So where to go from there? Where to go from feline blood?
So who's of kittens?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's talk about something important real quick. Cam, throw up that slide for me, baby. Folks, more than 5 million Americans live with Alzheimer's and other dementias. More than 16 million people, 16 million family members and friends provide unpaid care. Join the fight against the disease. Walk to End Alzheimer's on October 20th at Frontier Field in Rochester, New York. To register or find a walk near you, call 1-800-272-3900 or visit alz.org/walk. Together, we can raise awareness and funds, enhance Alzheimer's care, and advance critical research. Cam and I are going to be there for the walk in Rochester.
Yes,
come say hello to us. I can't guarantee that I'll actually be walking anywhere. Cam may be pushing my wheelchair. But we will be there for a very good cause, and we hope you will be too. Back to me, Cameron. Well done, sir. Brian, we're going to get to stand-up news in just a minute, but I think what's really important for us to do right now is just talk about our amazing sponsors.
Yes, we have an amazing list of sponsors.
Well, first thing I want to do is point out Showmageddon is coming up very soon, starting on October 19th.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a little promo coming up about that. But check that out on our website. Look for the Showmageddon 18 shows. There's 4 of them. They're all competing to become a regular featured show here at Comedy the Carlson and the Rickles Room. Awesome prize, especially
prize
for an independent promoter. It's an amazing prize.
When we were promoting, we didn't have a room like this.
Well, there was no club that had the ability to do it.
Yeah.
And we have this awesome Rickles Room that we could do literally anything in the world in, and we want to open that up. So
we might have become prosperous if we had a room this good.
I'm doing pretty damn well. I don't know what your problem
is. I might have become prosperous if we had a room this good.
Well, you should have tried to enter Showmageddon, because I'm sure not going to keep
shows in there.
Yeah, that's right. Cam has his show, Comedy Karaoke. Cam, I'm not allowed to give you any legs up on the competition, but in the week of your show, we will give you some extra time to explain what your show is and tell everybody about it. I'm rotten like that. I stick to the rules.
Appreciate we're impartial.
That. Yeah, completely impartial. Not giving Cam.
A fair king.
Like a Supreme Court judge.
There's four shows. Let the Chips Fall, which is going to be an improvised stand-up show where you, the folks in the audience, are going to get to text in your questions and comments for the comedians, and they're going to have to riff off of your text nonsense. So Let the Chips Fall, stand-up comedy show, text in silly stuff. I believe their text line's open now. You can find all this information on Showmageddon's Facebook page. Our friends at Hate This Podcast are doing their show. The rawest in the region, where it's going to be literally the rawest performers they could find between Syracuse, Buffalo, and Rochester, and that's going to be a lot of fun. We also have Comedy Karaoke with Cam Tiller. They're going to be doing their tribute to a performer. So I believe we very well could have someone play Cat Williams, come and assault somebody. That'll be good. And
behind the peas.
From behind the can of peas. Why is that can of peas sitting in the corner of the stage?
I'm sorry I brought it up. Let's not go down.
Yeah, let's not do it. There's plenty of Cat Williams news later. And not only that, last but not least, the misfortunes with our friend John Mungovan. So I'm very excited. They're all going to be special, unique twists to the shows. Showmageddon 18. All right, let's keep that moving. Pa-pow. And nobody wants to work with me today. Why does everything want to be difficult? Show me some Sapori. Boom. Vinny's computer. Oh, well, that's the problem. It's me. Hey, now we're talking. Sapori Cafe and Catering. At Sapori Rochester, inside the Powers Building atrium, they cater your special event. You could email them at admin@sapori-rochester.com for information. Graduation showers, weddings, birthdays, corporate events, backyard barbecues, and more. Find them on Facebook and Instagram. Three Heads Brewing, delish. Beer. We really need to get the Homer drop in there. We need a Homer Simpson drop.
That's as close as I can come.
I want to drop you on your head.
He makes that noise.
Von Meter, you are not, sir. Wow, we got a Von Meter reference out today. ThreeHeadsBrewing.com. And I can't wait for the Halloween party, by the way. And don't forget our friends at Iron Smoke Whiskey. Their tasting room is open right now in Fairport. Check them out. Handcrafted in upstate New York. Available in two varieties, Applewood Smoked Whiskey and Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey. IronSmokeWhiskey.com. That works for me, Cam. You can take that off the screen. And we are going to get ready to introduce our very, very good friend, Ross Johnson.
Better than average friend.
Ross, could you get in the camera frame? That'd be good. Did you move the camera at all, Brian? Did you mess with that?
Ross did it.
Why did you do that?
Well, because it was covering my... That's scary. How's that?
Awful. It's not good either.
Hold on. It was because you couldn't see the top of my head.
Is it really going to help?
Yeah, he looks so youthful. All that cat blood. So, Ross, tell us what's going on in the world of stand-up, buddy.
Okay, so a few weeks ago we talked about the Gilda Radner documentary that's coming out. There's another comedy legend coming to the big screen. They're doing a George Carlin biopic.
Oh, really?
Did you see Moneyball?
Yes, I did.
The Oscar-nominated screenwriter of Moneyball, Stan Chervin, is writing a George Carlin biopic, so that's going to be coming out sometime in the future, probably next year. Carlin's old manager and his agent are involved.
Okay.
Kelly Carlin.
So it is authorized.
Be involved. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it was.
Well,
a little...
Kelly doesn't like to get involved in anything, really, does she?
Yeah. Why would you? I mean, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like being involved in stuff.
Yeah. Well, so. You don't like your parents, so.
I mean, they're all right.
You would sell their movie rights. So in a second.
I mean,
if someone wanted to make a movie about your mom, I'd sign it away.
I mean, if you could, if we could show that in a.
Theater.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not a regular theater.
Okay, that's fine.
Special theater.
So, who's playing George?
No word yet. No casting. So, this is just in the early stages, but it's underway.
Cam Tiller, who is your first choice to play George Carlin?
Me.
I have gotten a lot of phone calls from numbers I don't know. So, maybe it was.
They're called creditors.
Maybe it was
creditors.
Oh.
You owe thousands all over town.
Wow.
I'm trying to think. Who always ends up playing people that I like but does a poor job?
Tom Hanks.
You know who's going to play George Carlin? Here, I'll put it down now. Hugh Jackman. I'm going Hugh Jackman.
Chadwick
they put him in everything.
In every biopic.
You know, it's true. Chadwick Boseman. We can have a black George Carlin.
Yeah. He's played everybody.
Yeah?
Idris Elba. Perfect.
Yeah, there you go.
It's unconventional, but I think Leslie Jones can do just about anything.
So I'm with you. I love Leslie Jones so much.
I love Leslie Jones. I would watch every movie with Leslie Jones.
All right. Leslie Jones is George Carlin. Book it.
Bradley Cooper.
Sold.
Let's do it.
Bought my tickets.
All right. What else we got, Ross?
Okay. So we talked about Nikki Glaser last week being the first one eliminated from Dancing with the Stars. There has been some escandalo involving this.
Is that Italian for scandal?
I think it's Spanish.
I think it's made up.
It might be made up also.
I think it's
fictionese. If Brian can make up Italian words, I can make up Spanish
words. It's Brian's version of Italian. Yeah.
So according to Good Housekeeping and other sources of news that talk about Dancing with the Stars all the time.
You have a subscription. Stop fronting.
I get it. I go to the dentist a lot. So apparently when she was on the show, there was sort of a risque exchange between herself and the host right before the vote. Mm-hmm. And there is some speculation that it was not her dancing, but it was in fact this exchange where Tom Bergeron said, she got some criticism from the judges. Glaser said she was fine with that because, quote, she's faced a lot of rejection in her life and a lot of rough sets. Tom Bergeron said, "You mean rough sets, not sex." And Nikki Glaser says she's had both. So apparently this was very
scandalous
for the viewers of Dancing with the Stars, which led to an immediate calls for the calls were the speculation is that the calls were immediately like, let's get rid of this scandalous figure.
Well, you know, they do call him Tom Easily Offended Bergeron.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his middle name.
He was the one who said it. Like, she said rough, you know. So
look at that picture of him up there. Hold on. I'm zooming in on his face up there. Pull out my computer, Cam. He looks like a deranged Henry Winkler. Like, look at this clown.
That guy's jumped a shark or two in his life.
I'm just saying, like, Nikki's just there laughing, having a nice time, and this guy's being all creepy. Uh-huh.
And Nikki, good friend.
You can take that off.
Good friend of the show, but you open the door for Nikki. She's going to say something.
Absolutely. Yeah. Nikki, I may have seen her name written on the board that hasn't been announced. I don't jinx it, nothing.
Well, it'd
be good to
that,
have her
like,
back.
To anybody, really anybody, but especially somebody with a comedy background, if you were like, oh, rough sets, not sex, the person's going to say something in response. And what she said was not as, you know.
Yeah. She just said like a little bit about.
It's not like she went like, oh, yeah, rough sex. Well, here's a list.
Absolutely. Here's what I like.
Yeah.
Let me show you the pictures in my phone. You know.
Right. Yeah. Like she didn't
There's
do that.
There's all sorts of stuff you
could do. Yeah.
But whatever. We'll keep moving along. What else we got today, Ross?
Okay. So Damon Wayans.
I stink. I'm the worst today. Can you forgive me, Ross?
I can do that.
I'm messing up everything.
That's all right, Mike. That's all right.
Go ahead. Damon Wayans.
Damon Wayans, this is sort of comedy adjacent, but I thought it brings
not a big fan of the Wayanses around here.
I don't know. No? Is that
true?
Okay.
We got some issues with Marlon.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know about this.
Well, Marlon bailed on playing the club.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we could talk about that now on the show, can't we?
I don't know.
Sure.
It's your Nobody's show gonna... and you brought it up. So.
Mark and Todd right now are going to cough up blood somewhere. But I'm just saying that, like, Marlon bailed on the club. And then Jimmy Walker actually told me an interesting story about Damon. Apparently, they both have proclivities for just bailing on dates. But either way, tell me more about Damon Wayans.
This might be a theme, because so this story might work better than I even thought. I debated about bringing this up because I wasn't sure how sort of relevant it was. But the Lethal Weapon show that Damon's starring in, which is about halfway through its third season, the white guy star was fired back in May for like inappropriate on set behavior, and now Damon Wayans says he's quitting. So he's bailing on Lethal Weapon sort of unexpectedly. Apparently he says he's a 58-year-old diabetic working 16-hour days and he doesn't want to do it anymore, so he's out.
Wow, that's
There's a theme with the bailing.
Well, I know they brought in Sean William Scott on that show,
and he's
heard.
The replacement. So
is he replacing Damon?
No, he's replacing the other guy whose name I
well good luck getting Marlon Crawford, guys.
Yeah, so too old for this shit, I guess, would be the joke, right?
I'm getting too old for this
sort of
shit
easy, but.
All right. keep moving.
Okay, so real quick, there's a new app which sounds interesting. Probably won't go anywhere, but it's from former Comedy Central GM David Bernath. He's created this app. It's basically it's sort of a Tinder for comedians. Not where you can. So this app basically it shows you
a Tinder for comedians.
What could go wrong?
Actually, it's not that. I just invented that, so I'm gonna claim my intellectual property to that. But this one, so what you do is you can comedians can submit performances, or they get performances. I'm not sure where they all come from, but you can user submit certain things. They show you performances, and then every week there's like a they sort of put them together as a show. You basically upswipe or downswipe on the performances, and then the winner each week gets like a cash prize. So that's the idea. This just started. Don't know if it's going to go anywhere, but I don't know if anybody's
Laugh Exchange. I'm going to download and check it out later.
Yeah, I guess I don't know what the typical structure is expected to be, but the first winner won $800. So
that's pretty nice.
Yeah. It was Damon awesome. Wayans.
missed you, Ross.
That's why
all
he's
right.
Retiring.
What else we got, buddy?
Okay, so I need my notes for this one. So
I see who it is.
This is our Cat Williams update.
Free from the raisins.
Cat Williams has escaped from the Food Depot. He's now on Instagram. He just joined Instagram and immediately threatened to knock Kevin Hart's mouth sideways, apparently. So, okay. So, again, I need my notes for this. So, this is going back to that Cat Williams radio appearance that we talked about like three years ago. Where yeah. which ended up right. with him in the Food Depot. Yes, yes. So, if you're a regular watcher, you know what I'm talking about.
He's out of the Food Depot, according to Graham.
On that appearance, of course, he had knocked some black female comedians about what they were worth, etc. In response, Kevin Hart talked about how Williams blew all his chances by not showing up and being irresponsible and, you know, sort of made the implication that, you know, he was more interested in drugs and other stuff than doing right. his work. Cat Williams responds, "I was just in the gym and I'm headed to Mayweather, so not in the Food Depot. I'm going to knock your motherfucking mouth sideways, fuck boy. I ain't Stephen A. Smith. I'm really out in these motherfucking streets." So
the first thing he did on Instagram was...
The first thing he did on the Instagram was threaten
Kevin Hart.
Beat the crap out of Kevin Hart. So,
excellent.
That's your Cat Williams update for the week.
Everybody. Awesome.
Nothing if not consistent.
Well, yeah. We're going to be back in just a minute or two with NBC and Netflix's Brent Morin. Excellent. Stay tuned, everybody.
Hey folks, we have some big shows coming up here at Comedy with Carlson this fall, so we want to make sure you know about them. This weekend, we have the great Jamie Lee from HBO's Crashing. Coming up next week, we have Brett Morin, October 4th through the 6th. Todd Youngman presents Pancakes and Kegels, October 10th, one night only. Rob Schneider, October 12th and 13th. I also hear Jamie Lissau is going to be there. Pauly Shore, one night only, Sunday, October 14th. How's that for a busy weekend? And we got my man Rick Matthews, one night only, October 18th. Michael Costa from The Daily Show, October 19th and 20th. Dave Koechner, November 1st through the 3rd. Brad Williams, November 8th through the 10th. Jimmy Schubert, November 15th through the 17th. And then Thanksgiving Eve, we have Dr. Dirty John Valby. Robert Kelly's going to be here November 23rd and 24th. Carlos Mencia, November 29th through December 1st. And the Pitbull of Comedy is back. Bobby Slayton, December 6th through the 9th. If you're interested and you want to check out a show, very simple. Visit carlsoncomedy.com or call 585-4-COMEDY. Hope to see you at a show sometime. Hey everybody, don't forget to watch us live Friday mornings on Facebook Live and YouTube. And if you wouldn't mind, give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. If you just want to listen to the show, you can check us out on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. And you might want to check out this little neat app that just came out. You might have heard of it. It's called Laughable. It's pretty incredible. If you haven't seen it yet, it's a great way to connect you and your favorite comedians. And if you forgot everything I just said, visit us at CarlsonCast.com.
Hey, everybody. We are back joining us in the studio.
Cut.
Brent Mord, everybody. He's here this morning.
Hi.
Brent, welcome to Rochester. Is this your first time here?
Yeah. This is my first time in Rochester. I'm getting used to the weather changes. It was warm yesterday. It's cold today. It'll be warm tomorrow.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like 80 tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I'll get the flu.
Come on. Isn't that how L.A. is? Isn't that just how L.A. is?
L.A. literally just stays the same temperature every day and looks the same. So after a while, it kind of drives you nuts because you're just like, it's like the same day.
It's like Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
I hear it gets windy sometimes.
Sometimes it gets windy.
Yeah.
Some nice little wind gusts blowing in some of that
weather.
Bad air.
Yeah.
The air's not good, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
It's bad air. You leave that air.
How's the water?
The water's, well, it's not, it's polluted.
Okay.
That's what I've been told.
Okay.
You don't swim. That's what I learned. It's not cool to swim. So, if you go to a pool party out in L.A., you don't swim. That's what I was told. You gotta play it cool and wear pants. Okay, I have no idea. I'm just lying. I have no idea.
Oh, this is a weird start to a show.
I jumped into a pool at a pool. It wasn't even a pool party. It was an after party. And Brent was intoxicated. And nobody was getting in the pool. I said, let's get in the pool. And I went down in my underwear and I jumped in thinking that's going to get the party going.
Because that always is like, oh, there's
didn't
a,
work.
There's a half-naked guy
I had another
in the pool.
Friend who's
I
a comic. He came in fully naked right after me. And I said, now it's just the two of us doggy paddling around this pool. Basically saying, don't sleep with us. That's basically what we're saying. That was so embarrassing.
Yeah, just imagine the two of you. The water's nice. Anybody
I did say that. And then I had to get out, and the owner of the house got us towels. And there's nothing more sad than drying off after you had that much energy to think you're going to start something, and then nobody's in. And it's like to the point that they won't look at you, even friends. Just like, it's not, we don't know him. And then you got to dry off in front of them and put your pants back on.
Did he hand you like his daughter's Hello Kitty towel or something to dry off?
No, he doesn't have any kids. It's LA.
Did you have to play it up when you were drying yourself off? I regret nothing, guys. I had fun.
I did say
I'm
that.
Sorry you guys didn't enjoy yourselves.
Yeah,
but I
definitely
thought it was
great. I was playing it up like that for sure. I was like, you think I'm embarrassed? I was saying a lot of that. Which was just drunken. Like, I think I was probably on the verge of a meltdown probably after
you
that.
Should all be embarrassed. Yeah. They invited us here. There's a pool party and none of you are even using it.
That's the problem with this city. Like, sir, just leave this house. This isn't even the right house.
Oh, this is good. I gotta tell you, Brent, I enjoyed your show last night.
Thank you. That was fun.
You are a very unique performer, I think.
Yeah.
Nice.
I yelled yeah there. Sorry.
It's all right.
I don't take compliments well.
Shouting
it's the curse of us being
show.
Comedians. We don't take compliments.
Yeah, but you deserve one, and I'm going to give it to you because we were talking about you just a little bit at the opening of the show. Get yourself comfortable, man.
Well, it's just I burned the living shit out of my lap with this coffee. But go ahead.
No. If you need any wounds addressed or anything, we'll have Ross get the first aid kit.
Yeah, Ross can take care of it.
He's just let me know.
He's certified in something.
Right.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Salve. You'll be fine.
Perfect. He's got put some salve on it. Go back out and play.
Disgusting word.
Salve. I know.
You have a degree in film, am I right?
Yeah. Writing
and directing. See, I knew it was directing. I knew it had to be directing because you use a lot of the stage during your show, man.
Yeah.
And that to me is like shows a lot of imagination. And it shows a lot of, not exactly risk-taking, but you definitely take some risks in your act.
Well, I'm a lunatic.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. It was a show, I have not seen anything like it in quite
great.
A while.
Honestly, like, it's funny you mention that, because that's like a big thing I started learning early on. Early on, I was so nervous that I would overcompensate, and I wouldn't, like, any video I tried to tape myself when I first started, I was pacing so much that I would go in and out of the frame, and I was like, this is so distracting, because the crowd literally has to go, like, could he stop?
Like tennis.
Yeah, it was like, what is going on? And then I started realizing, like, oh, I've come up with a good idea or joke, and then I realized, if I turn my body slightly to the right here, and then move to the middle here, like, it got to the point where I was that meticulous. I'm like, well, if I deliver this part this way, I bet it kills harder than me doing it this way, because you get caught up sometimes, and especially since I'm playing multiple people, sometimes I'm like, oh, they can't see you, Brent, over here. So they're not getting your – this side's loving you, but this other side's like, what is he doing for that side? It's interesting. So I'm constantly like looking at clips and stuff, and I go like, oh, man, what are you doing? You got to face the audience this way or that. So I'm always thinking about that. It's true.
It's not all physical comedy and stuff like that. You're a great storyteller. And at times during the show, Brian, what I thought was great was how you were able to move around and do interesting things, but also – park it on the stool and tell a story.
That's new for me. I think that's just coming with confidence now, where I can kind of sit in silence and I'm okay. I don't know if it's just years of bombing at the Comedy Store, but literally
that'll do it.
Really could still sit you down. I'll tell you that. I suck.
I'll take the legs off from under you.
Well, everybody has a breakdown eventually at the Comedy Store because you just bomb so long that you just eventually snap, and then you could be.
Then you're a regular.
Then you're a comic. But that's recent for me. I've realized, like, man, I'm like settling in. Because I watch certain comics I love and they could settle in. And for me, the longest time I was speeding through everything because I was like, oh, they're quiet. I need them to laugh or I'm, you know, going to be depressed again.
I'll tell you, settling in is very in, you know, there's some comics that can just keep a very. Obviously, Stephen Wright, but you can go to a guy like Ron White, who can stand in front of the microphone and have a cigar in his mouth and take a sip of his drink and still make
Marin,
you laugh.
Marin now too.
Marin's doing big all the time. He doesn't ever get up. I don't think.
It's a skill.
Stool. Yeah. Well, you know, it's ebb and flow. I realized I'm learning all this stuff now. You think like, oh, I know what I'm doing, and then you realize, oh, I don't know what I'm doing yet. Like, I've been doing it for 11 years or what have you, but it's one of those things that you get better and better. Like, that's my favorite compliment when people go, we've seen you three times, and this time this was the best you were. I'm like, thank God, because I think I'm peaked and I'm done.
When somebody,
I haven't been wasting my time.
I was like, great. I thought I was out of everything.
I mean, I almost, when people say I've seen you three times, it's almost like I feel like I'm about to have to apologize.
Why? Why have you seen me three
too.
Times?
I, like, when people go, we drove all the way from such and such to see you tonight, I always, my initial reaction is go, I'm so sorry. And they're like, no, we loved it. I go, oh, thank God.
You know, there's a Netflix special. You could stay home and turn that on.
I'm like, why'd you pay for me? Like, oh. I don't know if that will go away. I think that's just the comedian mind, you know? We always think we're a little lower.
I would think that I would hope it stays. Just because, you know, that's how you know you still care about your audience.
Sure. No, I agree.
Yeah, it keeps you motivated.
That's what Gary Shandling said. Then he said the second a comedian's comfortable at a party, he's not a comedian anymore.
Interesting.
Like, that kind of makes sense. Like, an industry party. I watch certain guys that I'll never name, but they get, like, one thing, and then all of a sudden they're wearing silk. And they're, you know, I see him.
Chris Doya.
<No.
laughs>
Chris was always wearing silk, by the way.
Yeah. I think he came out the womb like that.
Chris has never changed. He's exactly who he was when we were doing open mics together. And
beautiful.
I remember one time we were going to play like a bar show, and he goes, fuck it. That's what no context. I go, what? He goes, I'm doing it tonight. And I go, what? He goes, you'll see. And he wore all white outfit, white shoes, white jean jacket. Some like power fist, white shirt, white jeans, just like, and this is like, we're going to play like Lucky Strike Bowling Alley, you know what I mean?
What year is this?
Oh, this was had to be like 10 years ago.
Okay.
Like, this is early on. And I go, really? Eddie Murphy, what are you doing? And he goes, fuck it, dude. This is me. And he goes, Brent, if I ever make it, I'm going to dress so European, you have no idea. He goes, it's going to be the weirdest shit you'd ever see. Capes, all of it. And I'm like, I love it.
Leather shoes with no socks that kind of curl up in the front a little
bit. It's amazing.
Yeah, that stuff makes me laugh. Like, when I was a PA making like $400 a week, he was on a TV show. Like, he would send me, and Jason Collins is also on the show with us.
Yep.
He would send us, he would go, wow, this is so crazy, huh? And it would just be his bank statement of all this money. And I go, hey, man, you know we don't have money. He goes, but I just think it's nuts. Isn't it crazy? And he would send videos of his dog. Be like, look how cute my dog is. Look at this little belt thing or thing I got for his, a chain for his neck. But it the dog is covered in hundreds.
Yeah, yeah.
I think stuff like that is so funny. Like, it is me, funny. That's like you're really like kicking your friends when they're down. I don't know why we love torturing ourselves, well, but that's the funniest thing in the world.
It's not fun to be nice to other comedians.
No, it's just, not.
No, it's not. It's
boring. It's not natural.
I can be nice. I can be nice to normal people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like stuff like that is—it's part of the camaraderie of comedy, just in general with your friends. If you can't be absolutely cruel to your best
like
friends,
100% the worst to them.
And a lot of us, the times in comedy, will say that you know somebody. Well, they're funny, but they just don't have the temperament for the business. That's usually what we're referring to. Is they can't take the beatings.
That's true.
Is it bullying?
Yeah,
is it bullying, Brent?
No,
I'm so sick of it now.
Is it bullying?
What you do to me is bullying, but it's not bullying.
Just shut up. Where's the coffee? Come here.
I had that. There's a kid that you know, because it goes in cycles. I got tortured and messed with, and still do. But like with Chris D'Elia and Jason Collins, when I was starting out, like I was 18, 19. And them, Joe Coy, Bobby Lee, all those guys, they would torture me more than I've ever seen someone tortured. And to me, all I thought was, they're accepting me. I'm part of the crew that I'm getting torn apart. So now we have this new kid that is coming up that like me and Jason mess with constantly, to the point that we like ruined him on his walk. That he's like conscious of how he even walks.
No.
That's what you do. You ball bust. And the greatest thing about him is, I was busting his balls. I was at this bar, and I was messing with him a lot. And this guy that I used to work with, Conan, barely know him. And he's in his 50s, and he obviously is going through something. But he goes, you don't need to be so mean to him, like to my buddy. And I go, excuse me? I go, I'm just messing around with him. This is what we do. We bust each other's balls. And he goes, but you don't have to do that. And I go, why don't you just shut up? You have no idea what we do. This is different. Yeah. And before it got even more heated, the kid that we were messing with goes, don't tell him what to do. And I'm like, what? And he just takes over. He goes, you have no idea. This is part of it. And I go, yeah, yeah. He goes, and if you don't like it, then maybe we should leave. And he goes, then leave. And we're like, yeah, let's go, Brent. And I'm like, yeah, take that. I go, what are you? You just defended me being shitty to you. And I go, guess what? You're going to get some spots for me because
two
that's
words.
What you have to do.
Two words here. Stockholm Syndrome is what that is. That is completely crazy.
I'll take it.
Yeah, why not?
His training is
complete. We want to mess with them. We're letting them host for us in Tempe, Arizona next weekend. And Jason's like, he said he already got his hotel room and all that stuff. Jay's like, we gotta, I think we should make a poster for the show and put another buddy of ours on it instead of him and tell him that we decided to go a different direction.
That's beautiful.
And he go, and I go, because he got the place and stuff. And he goes, yeah. And Jay's like, but I feel like the best way to do this is we actually have to not let him do the show. I said, Jay, that's a little,
that's a little
much.
Far.
He goes, but that's kind of, I just can't see it working any better. He goes, that's the funniest option. I go, I know, but we can't. I feel bad the kid got the hotel room. He goes, yeah, but Brent, that's why it's funny. He already booked everything.
For the joke.
Yeah. Don't you understand that if we really just make this kid waste all of his money and feel like
it will make
stop
us laugh?
Him from earning a living?
Yeah, I know. It's so rude.
I'll
let Jason deal with the abuse, but he'll do the show.
Now, Jason, show. I have to mention Jason. I would be absolutely a fool not to. Jason Collins is here this weekend with you. And you two travel all over the place together, and you've known each other forever.
Yeah, yeah. We started together, and it's kind of awesome because now I'm in a position where I could take him on the road. There was a time where he was taking me on the road, you know, and it's just like it makes the show better because he's a headliner in his own right. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have somebody opening the show, especially for the crowd, that gets to somebody that I never have to think about. I'm like, he's going to kill, and then I'm going to get nervous, and I'm going to have to figure it out. And I like that better than, you know, just having somebody in front of you that's bombing so you look better. I don't know why comics do that, because it really, like, it hurts the show. It makes the audience want to get drunker faster. It really ruins it for you as a headliner. But if you have, like, a great show, people are like, wow, that, from top to bottom, it was great. And you did great last night.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
it. So there we go. Look at that show.
Look at that.
I have to say, you are right. It is a weird headspace to get into.
Yeah.
And I've met some comics who bring their features, and I look at these features, and I go, he's traveling with this person? And, like, and I'm not
There's
talking
a lot of
one
that
show.
Do that. A lot
I'm
of
not talking
do that.
One show. I'm talking five shows.
Oh, yeah. People that have no business middling at all, and they'll give them chances because deep deep down, they're just insecure. They want to look like the best person. And it's like, well, it's not about that. It's about, like, the whole show should be great. You want an audience to leave and be like, man, that was great. And sometimes there are shows where Jay wins, you know, where I'm like, he murdered so hard that I'm like, oh, shit. And then I like that feeling because then I go, well, then I got to really bring it. And then there are times where I'm like, I'll get off stage. I'm like, you won that one. Like, you did better than me on that one. That's,
well,
for sure.
I'll tell you, I have to ask this question. I'm going to give away nothing from your act.
Sure.
When Jason kills it, I know last night you opened up with a story about you and Jason.
Oh, yeah.
Do you do that often? Is that part of your act? Or
sometimes,
do you save that for when he kills? Well, and you could just go out there and, like, acknowledge him and like,
reset
work it
the room?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll do that where it's like we were in Dallas and he killed so hard. And then I went up and told a story about us and the room, it reset the room. Like, it makes it like the, now they're watching me.
Yeah.
Right.
I did the stuff with Jay, and then
remember
I just,
who you bought tickets for.
Yeah, and then I'll go on stage. I said, and room reset now to me. And I did that just because I knew Jason was listening, and he's dying laughing in the back. No, I heard him talking about airport stuff, so I sometimes remember that story. And we haven't been on the road together in like, because he was doing Vegas and doing something else. We haven't been on the road together for like 3 weeks, which feels like 3 years for us. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that time that happened, because that story did happen.
Yeah, that's a crazy story. Let's not tell it. We'll save it.
Yeah.
But that was a great way to open a show.
Yeah.
I actually, that's what I was thinking the whole time. I was like, wow, Jason was so good. That's a tough follow.
Yeah.
And you came out there, and the way you owned it, I was like, that is very interesting and very smart.
Yeah.
Just me. But I like to think I'm a weird student of stuff. But
you have to be.
Yeah. Where did you first get exposed to stand-up?
L.A. I moved to L.A. and I was in film school, and I didn't have a fake ID and couldn't go anywhere, so I said, well, let's go to the Laugh Factory. And I went to the Laugh Factory. I'd never seen live stand-up before. And then I was kind of like, I was in screenwriting class and all that, and people weren't being honest. My scripts were horrible, but people were too, you know, they're too scared to be like, it's good, you know, as opposed to being like, that wasn't good. So I was having all these things like, am I good enough? Am I funny enough? Can I make something? Can I do that?
Now,
so
where did you go to film school, by the way? What was your?
Columbia College.
Columbia.
Yeah. And okay. I was like, well, let me get on stage, because that's writing, that's directing, and that's acting. It's all the things I want to do. And I noticed all these people that I, because I never thought about doing stand-up till I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that all these people like Albert Brooks and Woody Allen and Judd Apatow and Michael Keaton, you name, all these people started in stand-up. And in the business, it's like, it's so stupid and fickle that you have no idea if you're ever going to, like, being a headshot on a desk or just a screenplay to me just felt like I'll never go anywhere.
Right.
Man, was I a bad stand-up, though. But I was like, it was bad. But I was like, you know what? I got a chuckle. Maybe I can get a laugh. And then when I got, like, my first laugh, I was like, okay, all right, okay, that's good to know. It's good to know that you're not that not funny. And then 10 years to be 10
You're not
years.
Not funny.
Yeah, there's something there, you delusional idiot. Because then you'll see a crazy person get up at an open mic. And you have to go, like, man, that guy's insane. This guy cannot think
certifiably he's funny. Insane person. There's a free microphone that is open to the public right now. And crazies do come out to it.
But what it would do to me is I go, oh, shit, maybe I'm crazy. You know, like,
if you're doing stand-up, odds are
you're
nuts. A bit nuts.
And then people always ask, how did you start doing stand-up? I said, delusional confidence. I don't know what else it could be. Why would I ever think, that will work. Let me grab that mic.
I've said this several times in the show. Like, it's like, who would do this?
Yeah, it's like, true.
Delusional like, confidence.
Yeah, it's literally like you have to be
through this.
Yeah,
the why name of this episode, that? If there ever was one, delusional confidence.
That's what, I mean, that's what's helped me my whole career. Just delusional confidence.
It's like The Secret.
Yeah, I guess so. Because when I look back now, I'm like waiting three hours outside to do 3 minutes in front of nothing but other crazy open micers that are waiting for 3 hours. I'm like. When I look back, I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? Like, I can't believe I even tried this.
Right.
And now I'm still doing it. Well, now I love it. Now I'm like, okay, you become addicted to it because then all the other stuff is fun. I like acting and writing, directing, but there's nothing better than stand-up because no one can tell us what to do, you know?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely
everything else, it's like I got to deal with 15 people that aren't creative that are telling me that this show is, that's great, but what if you do it completely different? Oh, okay. Yeah. So you don't like it. and then you're just stuck and nothing gets made. So you can go on stage, though, and
stand
it's the best.
Up is all about me.
Yes, and I think that's what it comes down to. Yeah. I think that's why my special was called I'm Brent Morin.
I'm Brent Morin whore. By Brent Morin.
Look at me.
Aptly titled.
Yeah. I should call the next one, Look at Me, Look at Me.
That's actually pretty good.
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
It's not bad.
Look at me, Brent Morin, stand-up comedian. Yeah. That should be the name of it, I think.
That's really funny. You should do it like those actor resumes where it says, like, archery, you know, I can snowmobile, yeah. You know.
Oh, dear God.
I saw a horse once.
Yeah, I saw. You know, this guy that was on the show with me, Rick Glassman, who's he's a funny stand-up in his own right, too. He did the sitcom with me, and he's like kind of like an Andy Kaufman type. Like, he just does a bunch of weird things. And what he would do for auditions is he even did this one because he was a waiter and I was a PA when we booked Undateable. And we went to all the tests together. Mm-hmm. We live in the same apartment building. Like, carpool to like the studio test, network test. Like, this was.
And you probably saw four other people from your building there, too.
I'm like, yeah, honestly, we were like, are we actually going to book a TV show? Like, it was the closest. But he would go in, he got headshots printed of David Schwimmer from Friends and just put his name on the bottom. And then on the back with marker, purple marker, he would write, he would write skills. He'd play Getting Chicks. Making cash, basketball, and then he would put like one thing, like Rubik's Cubes, and then he would hand it, and then he wrote up a bunch of them for the studio test. Keep in mind, no credits in his life, like needs this job, this is everything, and he gave headshots to everyone, and he had different things on the back of them, and then he gave the president of Warner Brothers a headshot, and he goes, here you go, sir. Figured this one would be good for you if you want to read the back. And the back, it was just $5 signs on a David Schwimmer headshot. And he didn't care. And he got cast because I was like, who has the balls to do that?
Where's Ippolito? I want this man booked here immediately. I mean,
we went in for one movie, and I got it. He didn't. But he went in, and he had his David Schwimmer headshot, and it was a football movie. And he brought in a football, and he brought in his headshot. And then when he walked into the room, he goes, if you don't mind, I'd like to use my own props for the audition. And they went, sure, okay. And he goes, oh, thank you. And he handed them the football and then held the headshot like a football. And then he goes, I fucked up. I gave you the wrong thing. I don't know if I could do this.
That's hysterical.
And he was killing. I heard him in there killing. I was like, my God, damn it. I don't have the balls to do that. I bomb auditions. But he was like, well, that was a risk.
Now, again, delusional confidence is what that is. Yeah. 100%.
That's
Jewish amazing.
Mother syndrome with him. His mother is, I mean, he has Jewish mother syndrome. It's like, Ricky is the sweet, he's the hottest, the most talented, he's the greatest. Which I'm like, that's why he has all that confidence. Because in his head, he's like, oh, I'm great.
I hate people with loving parents. They just piss me off.
I know, and she's funnier than him.
Wow.
Damn it.
Wow. We really do a number on our kids.
Yeah.
We really do a number on our kids.
That's why I make
that
sure
that blows my mind. $5 signs written on the back of it. Here you go, sir.
Yeah, here, president of Warner Brothers, who doesn't know me at all. And he'll commit to a joke even if he knows he should get out of it. So he'll just, like, I remember you have to sign a contract before you go and test. And so the people at Warner Brothers bring the contracts to us. We've never even seen a contract before. I sign it. I go, yeah, awesome, thank you. And Rick goes, I'm going to need more money, though. And
oh, no.
They were like, and he thought they would get the joke right away, and they didn't. But he stayed in that character because he's like, well, I had to stay in that guy. I go, well, you didn't.
You absolutely did not.
Yeah, I
said,
you could just
that.
Say, I'm kidding. And he's like, he goes, what else was I supposed to do? I go, just say, just kidding, and sign the damn thing instead of having them get two assistants to call your agents and lawyers because you were just sitting in a joke for the first 30 minutes. I go, what is wrong with you? He goes, I don't know, man. This is not a good start. And I go, don't do the headshot thing. He goes, I got to do the headshot thing. And I go, damn it.
But at that point, it's all he's got. It's what he brought with him. What is he going to do? Do you have a headshot?
Like, I was like, did you even read the script? Like, you should probably memorize the lines. You got doing all these bits. He's like, no, I'm going to make a lot of it up.
Wow.
And it worked. He got it. He booked it.
That's amazing.
And we had fun on the show. That was funny. Yeah. forgot about that stuff.
Wow, man. We just went on a weird little story. Yeah. I love that.
Well, I totally forgot. I was like, oh, man. I'm going to start. What's going to happen is if I get really successful, I'm just going to end up taking those stories and saying I did it.
Beautiful.
I think I'll be one of those guys. Like, that's not your story.
And to make sure that this video never surfaces again, I expect a producer credit and a role as a fat best friend. Thank you.
Done.
Deal. Done. Done and done. Lips are sealed.
Do you have a role for semi-handsome coat rack? Because I can play that pretty good.
Always.
Yeah, good.
I was thinking that when I walked in.
Yeah, just the guy who stands in the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my best thing I can do.
He's also would be a marvelous corpse on CSI.
Oh, yeah.
Any of those shows.
Born
to play it.
Yeah.
Born to
That'd
play
be
it.
Funny to put under credits of what you did on a resume. Marvelous corpse on CSI.
Yes.
Charming corpse.
Yeah. Charming corpse.
Whimsical corpse. That'd be good. The one that fell all weird. Corpse.
A corpse with the it factor. What does that mean?
Just a corpse that like died mid-wink.
Yeah. I could play a marvelous corpse, a whimsical corpse. Sir, there's lines in this one.
Cheeky corpse.
So cheeky.
You started comedy 11 years ago.
Yeah. Actually, maybe earlier than that now that I think about it, because I'm 32 and the first time I did an open mic was 18. But I'd say I started like doing it every night when I was 20, say, like when I was in college. Like, okay, well, let's do it more now because I think this will be my way in. So I started like leaving certain classes to go do stupid shows with Jason Collings and Chris, play hostels.
Which sounds like a long time ago, but
for
not comedians we know, no, not at all. For where you've gotten to, that's pretty quick
rise. I've been pretty fortunate. I'm so happy I started when I was 18, even though from 18 to about 25, I didn't know what the hell I was saying. Because, you know, stand-up, you need perspective. Yeah, there needs to be, when you're 18 and you're in college and you like, nobody gives a shit about you. Like, your problems aren't real yet. So Jason came out of the gate. He was a monster. I came out and people were like, get off. We hate you, you know. But I loved it. I'm so happy I started younger. And I love running into guys like Marc Maron and them. And when I tell them that, they're like, how old are you? And I was like, well, I'm like 20. They're like, get the fuck out of here. Don't talk to me.
Wow. It's true, though.
What does a 20-year-old have to say to you?
I know.
Unless they share your genetic material, I don't want to talk to a 20-year-old.
Here's what a 20-year-old can tell me. I can't wait to be 21 so I can drink. Yeah, buddy, we agree. Yeah. That's about all I got.
They always thought I was older. Anyway. Jason and Chris always thought I was older because I never told them that I was 19 when we were hanging out. But they didn't drink or anything, so we never were drinking. It was always like stand up and then diners. So, but then one time they were like, let's go to this bar. And I had to be like, I can't go. And they're like, why? And I was like, because I'm 20. They're like, what? We thought you were like 26. And then the running joke became how I'm aging so much. So they really
you
tore
look terrible.
Me. Yeah. They're like, you look fucking horrible. Like, straight up, Bobby Lee was like, you look bad. You're bad for 20.
That's
I was like,
terrible.
Shut up, Bobby. Oh, yeah.
Bobby looks terrible for whatever he is. So
yeah, but you know, I don't even know if he's 50. I can't or 20.
Yeah,
or
how old
80.
Is Bobby Lee?
Yeah, I have no clue.
He's so soft.
I never thought.
He's so soft. I remember he like peer pressured me into kissing him on the lips when all of us were. It was me, Eric Griffin, Joe Coy, Jason Collins, Chris D'Elia, this guy Vinny O'Shana. We're sitting in this middle table in this Chinese restaurant that Bobby recommended. A shocker. And we're sitting there, and Bobby goes, how old are you again? And I was like, I think I just turned like 21, and I'm hanging out with all the guys.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, you got to kiss me, right? And I was like, what? And he goes, you're like, yeah, dude, everybody does it. So then they all jump on this like peer pressure train, like, dude, I'll get you banned from all the clubs if you don't kiss me on the lips. Like,
what a weird thing to
it was
use
just
your
a
power
weird, like,
for.
Yeah, mess with me. And then Joe Coy and everybody goes, like, wait, what is your problem, dude? And he starts throwing chicken at me. He goes, come on, dude, be cool. Kiss Bobby. And I was like, why don't you guys kiss? And they were like, and Chris is giving me crap. And this guy, Vinny, who's very funny. Vinny is intense, too, though. He's like, just do it, dude. What are you, gay? Kiss him. You know, it was like, huh?
Your mind is completely
but I got
down.
I got Bobby because of Vinny. I threw Chris under the bus first, which was great. Because I go, why don't you do it, Chris? And he goes, oh, I've done it. I go, and Vinny goes, yeah, let's just show. Let's show this pussy what it's like. Come on, Bobby. So Vinny gets Bobby up and Chris. And Chris is like, okay, well, wait a second. And in the middle of the restaurant, they triple kissed. They just went like that, just the three of them. Weirdest for anybody watching this. That was because we're right in the middle. So there's a whole bunch of tables because it's so loud that are all kind of starting to go, yeah, kiss them. You know, like it's getting weirder and weirder. So then I had to kiss Bobby Lee on the lips. That was like, man, that wouldn't fly this day.
That's like using the power of flight to get to Walmart faster.
Yeah, it was so funny.
I want to try that on New Comic Show.
Dude,
kiss
it was
Brian.
So,
gotta kiss Brian.
Yeah, it was such a mind. It was such
I've
a.
Already kissed
because
all
they kept
them.
Saying, like, dude, don't be so gay, kiss him. You know, like they kept saying stuff to me, and I was like, I'm like 19, 20. I go, I don't even know what's happening right now, but this is like, can we stop with this joke? And then I, you know, end up doing it.
Oh,
now
man.
Sometimes I just kiss Bobby anyway because he's kind of like a little like pillow you can throw around. I like
I feel like for a day he'd be great to have around and just toss on your couch and be all comfy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's so funny.
He really is.
Yeah.
Got any memorable bombs? Worst bomb you ever had?
Oh, man. There's so many. I think one that comes to mind is I was in El Paso, Texas, and I had a son.
Nothing funny about El Paso.
And I was, this is like when I was still a PA, I was getting like the chance to headline like very small places, and they offered me a weekend, and I went, and I barely had enough for 30, so I'm stretching an hour if I could.
Right.
And I had the Sunday show, and the other shows, of course, it was barely anybody there. And then the Sunday one, they were like, it's sold out. And I was like, oh, wow, Sunday sold out. I wonder how that happened. And when I got in there, it was just a biker gang that had, like, they had their biker gang, all of them meet up. So it's like 200 Sons of Anarchy-looking people. And me headlining. And they're all boozing and just
what age now?
Booing. I had to be 23.
Oh, they would love you.
And they started throwing bottles at me because I was bombing. And then I snapped on stage, and I was like, what do you guys think? You're tough. You all match. You know? I was
did
like,
you have to kiss
I said, there's
oh,
a lot,
no.
There's something real tough when you wear vests. That's really tough. Did you sew that yourself? And then they kind of like that, though. So I kind of turned them a little bit because they're like, yeah, keep going. Get him. Get Big Bob. All this. It was
right.
Insanity. And then they kind of like, they were like, you're getting drunk with us. And I was just scared. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then,
I know he was scared because when he just channeled it back, he went, I was scared.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
I know.
You really like went back.
I probably suppressed some memories. That's probably why I have night terrors. But no, that one was a terrible bomb that turned into like a funny thing because then they got me drunk. And then they even drove me home. So with a bunch of bikers, like some big dude, I'm on the back seat of his bike. They dropped me off at a Motel 6 that I was staying at. And I was like, bye, guys.
At least they didn't drop you off in a hole in the desert.
Well, I was a little concerned because we're right on the border of Mexico. And there was like they were like, don't go to Tijuana or don't go over there because you'll die. And I was like, really? And then I thought maybe they were going to drive me into there.
Yeah, but El Paso is a little lawless, isn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't what they said it was like in the 80s and stuff. I heard back in the day it used to be like a destination for comics because they would do the shows and then go right into Tijuana and like have a blast. But now they're like, don't go. So that was a bad bomb.
Oh, boy.
Oh, and then in Kansas City I had one too where like the chief of the fire department had to come in and kick everybody out with riot gear because it got a little intense.
Wow, you just yada yada a whole lot of story there, my
yeah,
friend.
I don't know how it happened. I got on stage.
Riot?
Well, they were very like the rowdiest, one of the rowdiest crowds I've ever seen, and they were like torturing the host and the feature. And I got on stage and I just said, "I'll wait," because everybody's talking. It's like playing like a very big cafeteria where everybody's just talking. All you can hear is talking. And so I sat on stage for like 3 minutes without saying a word until everybody was quiet. And then I was like, I tried to start something and they went back to talk. And I said, okay, you know what I'm going to do here? Because you guys don't want me to do my act. You're obviously all drunk. This is your one night out. I'm going to let everybody in this room say what they want to say to me. But you have to raise your hand and you have to be quiet. but understand, all of you will lose. And so everybody would
get
up.
That is one of the ballsiest things I've ever seen.
You went third grade school teacher on.
Yeah, and so they would raise their hand and make fun of my outfit or something, and then I would just destroy them because I have a mic and I'm higher up, so already that's going to win. Yeah. And I did it for long enough, but then people got mad, and then I guess the owners had to be like, well, it's going to get out of hand at this point, because it went from funny to like, uh-oh. And then all of a sudden, I just remember being on stage while people right here kicking everybody out, and they're like, bye. I
was
like,
you were still on stage while the riot police
came because they shut the show down, I guess. Like, it's over. Everybody out. Everybody was a wreck.
Wow. Wouldn't it be funny if the riot started because they did want to hear his material?
I just misread it because I was insecure. Yeah. Like, tell a joke. Yeah, fuck you. Like,
you
what?
And your goddamn delusional confidence.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll ever bomb worse than that. That sounds pretty...
Started a riot.
That was bad. Hostels were always bad. Unbeatable. There's a lot of hostels in L.A., and that's tough when nobody speaks English. So that's an interesting time. But that's kind of hilarious. Because you're just up there like, huh? And they're like, huh? And I go, why am I even here? This makes no sense.
That's really weird.
Yeah. That was, you know, stage is a stage.
Are they booking?
I guess it wasn't a stage.
Who's booking
that?
Let me send an email. Get in on that.
Do you have an email? I think it's a Hotmail.
That's a great excuse, though, for having a bad set. As well, nobody spoke the language.
Yeah, so and now that I think about it, there wasn't even a microphone. So you're basically just standing in front of them.
Just talking.
Were you just at a taco place?
Maybe that wasn't a show.
Yeah. Maybe you just wandered in somewhere. Yeah.
Maybe I just went, hi, everyone. They're like, what is he doing? Well, I don't know what that accent was. What is he doing?
It was Italian Spanish.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I want to remind everybody that we have some tickets we are going to be giving away for the 10 o'clock show tonight. If you're interested, make sure you send us a text and make sure you give us your name, and I'll get back to you with that. The text line is open, 585-484-0265.
It's going to be fun.
If you want to come to the show Friday or Saturday night, there's four shows. You can visit carlsoncomedy.com or call 585-4-COMEDY.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Brent, we talked a lot about your film background.
Sure.
And writing. Mm-hmm. You still want to direct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to get money together to make something. It's just constantly trying to find people with money. I wish I had a lot of money.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be so cool.
Everybody
so
thinks.
Cool. I'd have an earring.
Thinks one NBC show you made it.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's everybody thinks. So how many houses do you have? I go. I'm still living in an apartment. I go. I keep everything. I'm like I need money. So here's the deal. If anybody wants to give me $3 million, we can make something. Hey, Get Out worked. Shit, I can't make Get Out. It won't make as much money as Get Out, but it might make something.
Yeah, there it is.
That's my sales pitch to Hollywood.
Let me check my banking app.
That was a hell, you got Venmo?
No. The answer is no. I'm sorry. The answer is no.
A little short on that.
Yeah. I do send emails sometimes to my old boss who did Undateable. He created Spin City and Scrubs and Cougar Town, and he's so rich. And so I'll send them emails in, like, the middle of the night for no reason, and I'll just send them money like, can I get $500,000? We'll explain later, and you will get your money back. Let me know. And then he won't email me back, and I go, did you get my previous email? Just checking up, and I'll do it. I've been doing it for so long. He hates it.
You are like a pest.
I was just like, just checking in again. It's just $500,000. I'll take $25,000.
No responses ever?
No, because we'll talk on the phone, and I go, did you get my email? He goes, yeah, I'm not responding to that stupid stuff. Anyway, can we talk about this? I go, well, just check it out, though. It's really cool. And, be like, and he goes, check what out, Brent? I go, you didn't get my attachment? And he goes, what attachment? And so then I just immediately went on my Microsoft Word, and I just wrote movie, and then I just sent him that. And then he goes, what is this, Brent? I go, it's a movie. Well, what's the movie? Give me the money, then we'll make the movie. Can I get your car? He goes, no, Brent. I go, well, this is your fault. He goes, I don't even know what you're saying.
I'm not sure I want to be your friend.
Yeah.
How are you successful? This is insane.
I don't know. I love messing with rich people, though.
Oh, it really is fun.
It's fun. When you're that rich, I mean, come on. I mean, he's has no concept of like what normalcy is anymore. Like, he'll send me text messages like, come to Prague. I'm like, huh? I was like, no, that's thousands of dollars.
That's him fucking with you.
I got a couple rich friends like that too. Where yeah. They're like, hey, we're going to Tuscany next October. You should come along. And I'm like, no.
Great. Send me a jet and pay for everything because I don't know how that's possible.
I can't do that.
Come to Prague. I just took off. Great. Have fun. I don't even know where that is.
What's a Prague?
I think it's like that little thing you eat that you get at Dunkin' Donuts, right? Or is that a pierogi? What's a pierogi?
A pierogi is a little
pierogi
potato thing.
Okay, so that's not a Prague.
A prawn is a big shrimp. I know
there
that.
It is, a prawn. So something in the middle. It's like a shrimp sandwich.
Come to prawns.
Prague.
Come to
I'm sure
Prague.
I can meet a wife there.
Yeah, absolutely. Bring one back with
Prague's
you.
Actually a lovely place.
I hear it's amazing. But like
very
said,
good, Brian. Good stuff. Yeah, yeah. So here's our last question for you before we let you go enjoy the rest of your day and get ready for the shows tonight.
Oh, yeah.
We have a lot of folks who are, you know, just kind of getting into comedy and a lot of young comics who uh-huh. watch the show. Do you have any advice for anybody who's going to be stepping on stage for the first time?
Yeah, don't expect to kill. Expect that it probably won't go well, and to get up as many times as you can. And I would also say, in the way beginning, I made this mistake, so I'm saying this from experience. Avoid the comedy clubs. Go to cafes, go to bars, go play, you know, rec halls or whatever. Get a little bit like a year in before you try to do an open mic at a comedy club, because I opened because I didn't know where to go at right. a comedy club, and the perception of me just because they only knew me from there, like the Laugh Factory is where I would go to the open mic, and that really kind of screwed me a little bit for a couple years because the owner was like, oh, that guy who was horrible, because I hadn't had any experience yet. So when I came back, I spent a lot of time being like, no, that was, I just started, this is, watch this one now. And it took a lot of work to get back in. So I always tell new comics, avoid the comedy clubs right away and just go do...
Get yourself...
Get used to being on stage, you know, and bombing. And it's also going to be much harder at a bar show.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't even know there's a comedy show going on.
You learn more. You learn more at bars and stuff like that.
Yeah, then you'll go to the comedy club and you'll know how to hold the mic a little bit better and you'll at least slow down. So I always recommend that. Do the bar shows and cafes and shitholes. Or start a show with a friend, too. That's always... good thing to do. People do those all the time, and they're fun as hell.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm with you on that. Yeah. I'm with you on that. So, Brent Morin, 4 more shows this weekend. I will be hosting tonight. Brian will be hosting tomorrow night.
Yes.
I'm sorry, everyone.
I'm really quite good.
Yeah, he's got it.
Yeah.
That's a great reaction.
Leave your reviews. I'd be interested to read them. Brent Morin, thank you.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Get your tickets to see him. CarlsonComedy.com, 5854Comedy. Cam Tiller, adequate job as usual.
Thank you.
Ross Johnson.
It's funny. He left.
We can't
well
see
done.
Him.
Oh, Ross left already?
Yeah. He had a
good job, Ross. I hope you're listening
right
now. He
probably
had
to go take his dog to the beautician or something.
Yeah, that sounds about right. We'll see you next week. I'm not sure who we're going to have in studio next week. There's a chance we have Rob Schneider sitting in here.
I'm not going to be here.
There's a better chance we're going to have Rob Schneider.
Yeah, personal reasons.
Odds are we're going to have our old pal Jamie LaSalle back, but we love him. So,
awesome.
We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Hell yeah.
Adios, everybody.
All right.